U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi meets Taiwanese President Tsai Ing-wen amid China's threats. Meanwhile, Beijing calls on Washington to stop meddling in Taiwan's affairs. A new survey shows half of Filipino families consider themselves poor. And new COMELEC Chairman George Garcia presides over his first on-bank session. Attorney Garcia will join us later on in the program. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. Topping the midday news, U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi now in Taiwan defying China's threats. Pelosi landed Tuesday night in Taipei. This morning, she met with Taiwanese President Tsai Ing-wen at the presidential palace. There, Pelosi said she wants to make it clear the U.S. will not abandon its commitment to Taiwan. President Tsai, meanwhile, says Taiwan will not back down in the face of military threats. She also granted Pelosi Taiwan's highest civilian honor. Pelosi is the highest elected American official to visit Taiwan in 25 years. Beijing has made it clear it regards her presence as a major provocation. But Pelosi insists her visit does not contradict long-standing U.S. policy. The U.S. National Security Council also standing by Pelosi's right to visit Taiwan, saying nothing has changed regarding U.S. commitments to the One China policy. China considers Taiwan part of its territory. Tensions running high across the Taiwan Strait as Pelosi visits the island. Taiwan's defense ministry says 21 Chinese military aircraft entered its air defense identification zone Tuesday, hours before Pelosi's arrival. China also launched a series of military drills around the island after Pelosi landed. In a statement, China's foreign ministry said the Taiwan issue is the most important and most sensitive issue at the very heart of China-U.S. relations. It now urges the U.S. to stop meddling in Taiwan's affairs and to stop, quote, playing the Taiwan card to contain China. It also repeated its stern opposition to Pelosi's visit. It accused the U.S. of acting like a bully in front of the whole world, which it believes will make everyone see how it is the biggest danger to world peace. The United States playing down news of Chinese fighter jets crossing the Taiwan Strait. The White House says Washington has security commitments in the region, which it takes seriously. Several U.S. warships are now cruising near Taiwan amid Chinese anger over Pelosi's visit. The U.S. Navy published images of the USS Ronald Reagan conducting maneuvers in the Philippine Sea south of Taiwan. The Japan-based nuclear-powered aircraft carrier is operating with a guided missile cruiser and a destroyer. The amphibious assault ship USS Tripoli is also operating east of Taiwan. Though Ronald Reagan and the Tripoli are both carriers of the latest generation F-35 fighter jets, U.S. officials have sought to reassure Beijing the positioning of the ships in the region was not linked to Pelosi's trip. The White House says Washington would make sure the U.S. House Speaker had a safe and secure visit. Private hospitals see a slight increase in COVID-19 admissions, but Dr. Jose Rene Degrano, the president of the Private Hospitals Association of the Philippines, says the situation is still manageable. He adds they are now preparing their isolation rooms following the detection of the Centaurus Omicron subvariant, as well as the monkeypox virus in the country.
What we are doing right now is just the same, more or less, what we are doing during the COVID pandemic. No, we are preparing for our isolation areas, because the what is important here is awareness, our detection, and of course isolation of these suspect cases.
The Philippines implements another border screening measure as a precaution against monkeypox. Incoming passengers of international flights will now be asked to roll up their sleeves as they enter the country's main gateway. This is on top of the thermal scanner, which monitors body temperature.
Dinidisrobe natin yung mga jackets na hanggat maaari makita natin yung mga signs and symptoms na kailangan nating makita. We do the primary screening using the thermal scanner, And then if we see the quarantine medical officer sees that this person needs to be evaluated further, we do our secondary screening.
The Bureau of Quarantine admits the screening test for incoming passengers is not foolproof, but it can minimize the risk of more cases of monkeypox entering the country.
Hindi naman po lahat nagpe-present with fever. And then after the fever, yung rashes tsaka lang po yan magde-develop. So that's one of the challenges. Kaya hindi po natin masasabi na yung pasaherong dadaan ay makakatch natin on time.
Ang importante sa border natin na meron tayong monitoring kung sino man yung darating at kung mag-develop ng symptoms within the next three weeks upon arrival, dapat meron tayong way of monitoring those individuals.
In other news, state seismologists record over 2,400 aftershocks since last week's powerful Luzon quake. Philippine Institute of Volcanology and Seismology Director Renato Soledum says while most of the aftershocks were not felt, the strongest one was at magnitude 5.1.
Ang kailangan nating paghandaan ay kung may mas matataas pang aftershock na magdulot ng intensity 6, iyon po ay delikado sa mga siguro nasira ng mga bahay at gusali. Kaya nga po, ang marapat dyan, huwag munang gamitin, no? Opo. Until maayos, o di kaya ay siguro maipagawa ng mabuti.
Last week's magnitude 7 quake left some 1.2 billion pesos in damage to infrastructure based on initial estimates. The death toll remains at 10. Medical workers finally arrive in several towns in Abra that were cut off by landslides due to last week's powerful quake. Residents were given free consultation and medicines.
Karamihan pa rin, may mga tumataas na mga blood pressure, may mga nahilo during the earthquake, yung pag-shake po. Yung iba, may mga nasugatan din po. Pero most of this, yung mga may mga nasugat, dinadala na ho sa Abra Provincial Hospital where our half of the members of the team are also there.
The earthquake, meanwhile, rendered some areas in the province uninhabitable. Displaced residents will have to remain in evacuation centers due to the possibility of landslides. The Philippine Education Department admits some schools damaged by the recent Luzon quake and powerful storms are still undergoing repairs. That says the new school year is set to begin later this month. The DepEd assures the public it is doing all it can to have the damaged schools ready for the opening of classes.
Right now, in fact, we have already asked the president through, of course, the DBM for additional funding of 16 billion to augment the current funds for quick intervention for areas affected by Odette, Agaton, and hopefully even the earthquake-affected areas. Okay.
Meanwhile, a teachers group still hoping Vice President Education Secretary and Education Secretary Sara Duterte will heed its call to postpone the opening of classes to mid-September.
As of now, kasi approved na ito ng Presidente, sabi niya, no, ito na talaga, tuloy tayo sa August 22. Pero depende pa rin, no, sabi niya, no, doon sa mga maaaring mga mangyari. No, at yun nga, at nirace namin, sinabi niya rin na pag-aaralan, no, yung legal basis, no, na nitong hinihingi namin. Hihintayin pa rin namin, hindi pa rin naman kami dito nawawalan ng pag-asa, no, lalo na, no, that was the first time, no, yesterday was the first time, no, na directly nakausap po natin yung ating Vice President Secretary.
The wake for the late Philippine President Fidel V. Ramos set to be open to the public on Thursday. Katrina Domingo with details.
The urn of late President Fidel V. Ramos is now at the Heritage Park in Taguig. The first 2 days of his wake are only open to family members. But starting on Thursday, his friends, colleagues, and supporters can pay their last respects to the former president based on a schedule. His family says this is to ensure that proper health and safety protocols will be observed during the wake. On Thursday, the wake is only open to government officials and members of the Ramos cabinet. On Friday, members of the diplomatic corps, the business community and civic organizations, as well as the media who covered FVR, will be free to visit his wake. Saturday is reserved for Ramos's colleagues from the West Point Academy, the Armed Forces of the Philippines, and other law enforcement agencies in the country. The wake will be open to the public on August 7th, from 7 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., and from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. the next day. A mass and a prayer service will be held every 5 in the afternoon, while a tribute for the late president will take place every 6:30 p.m. Visiting hours will end every 10 p.m. On August 9, Ramos's remains will be brought to the Hero Cemetery, where he will be laid to rest along with his fellow presidents and war veterans. Ramos's family urged those who wish to send flowers for the late president to just donate to charity institutions close to FVR. Malacañang has yet to say if a state funeral will be held for the Philippines' 12th president. Historian Manolo Quezon explains state funerals are not automatically given to presidents who have passed away.
A president is entitled to a state funeral, is entitled to 10 days of national mourning. But the tradition is that all of this is offered by the sitting president and only announced when the family or if the family accepts. It's dependent on two things: the president has to offer and the family has to accept.
Former Health Secretary Jaime Galvez-Tan says those close to Ramos knew that his health has been deteriorating since last year.
Last year, remember, it was his birthday, and I was telling all my friends who were with him, that let's see Ebian, and they say even the family will not allow a visit. So I knew he was really in a difficult situation. And in a sense, the announcement was expected knowing his health conditions.
Aside from his work ethic, Galvez-Tan says he looks up to Ramos's steadfast commitment to upholding peace in the Philippines. An irony, since the former president is one of the country's battle-tested and well-decorated soldiers.
I asked him, Mr. President, you are a general. But, you know, you have never acted at war. I mean, you made peace with the NPA, the Moro National Liberation Front, even with the Reform Armed Forces Movement. Mm-hmm. Why is it so that you, the general, are the peacemaker? And he was saying, Jimmy, if you knew what war was, because I was in the Korean War and the Vietnam War, you would never like to be again in a war.
It was during the Ramos presidency when the government forged a peace deal with the Moro National Liberation Front. Ramos also pushed for peace talks with communist rebels. Now, the general, who is also a peace builder, will soon be laid to rest. Katrina Domingo, ABS-CBN News.
A controversial film about the 1986 ouster of the late Philippine dictator Ferdinand Marcos Sr. draws the ire of a group of nuns in Cebu Province. A movie trailer of Made in Malacañang depicts the late president Cory Aquino playing mahjong with nuns. The democracy icon sought refuge at a Carmelite monastery in Cebu at the height of the 1986 People Power Revolution that overthrew the Marcos regime. The prioress of the Carmelite monastery says the movie's depiction of Mrs. Aquino's stay there is malicious. A missionary Benedictine sister also unhappy with that scene. Sister Mary Jane Manansan calls it ridiculous.
My goodness, yung Carmelite sisters pa naman are contemplative. Mas stricto pa nga sila kaysa sa amin na active, no? At talagang all of their time is spent in praying, in making, especially at that time. That time na namimiligro ang buong bayan, magmamadyong ka, ano ba naman? Sobra namang distorted ang imagination niya gumawa ng pelikula na yan. At that time, they were making fasting, abstinence, adoration, sacrifices for the country. Mm-hmm. So it is a talagang distortion. Ayun nga, talagang distortion na ng history ang nangyayari.
The Carmelite Monastery said it was not consulted by the film's crew. The film's director, Daryl Yap, claims he did not think it was necessary to consult the nuns. Yap insists that in his view, there's nothing wrong with playing Mahjong as a pastime. And take a break now. Up ahead, some transport groups want the controversial no-contact apprehension policy scrapped. Details of that story and more when Dateline Philippines returns. Stay with ANC. We're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi meets Taiwanese President Tsai Ing-wen amid China's threats. Meanwhile, Beijing calls on Washington to stop meddling in Taiwan's affairs. And a new survey shows half of Filipino families consider themselves poor. The Marcos administration's push to ease the debt burden of Filipino farmers gaining support in Congress. That's according to Agrarian Reform Secretary Conrado Estrella III. He says some lawmakers, including Senator Amy Marcos, have committed to file a bill condoning the debts of agrarian reform beneficiaries.
Gusto ng ating mahal na Pangulo ay maipasa ito as soon as possible, siyempre, no? Yan ang kanyang instructions. Now, noong linggo, kami ay nag-usap-usap na nila Senator Amy Marcos because she also filed the bill. Meron din ho siyang na-file na panukalang batas na tungkol dito sa condonation dito sa New Emancipation Act. Marami rin hong senador katulad ni Senator Chis Escudero, nakausap ko po siya, meron din siyang ipa-file din na bill. At sa Congress, marami rin silang magfa-file ng ganyang bill. Kaya I think it's gaining support at mabuti ho ito para nang sa ganon ang ating mga magsasaka, lalo na yung mga agrarian reform beneficiaries, imbis na ibabayad nila ang kanilang kinikita sa amortization fees at ganun din sa interest, gagamitin na lang nila upang mas lalong mapaigi ang kanilang pagsasaka at lalong mas marami ang kanilang ani at mas malaki ang kanilang kita.
This is among President Ferdinand Marcos Jr.'s appeals to Congress during his first State of the Nation address. He also vowed to issue an executive order imposing a year-long moratorium on the payment of land amortization and interest payments. Some transport groups calling for the scrapping of the controversial no-contact apprehension policy. Jackie Manabat now on the line to tell us more about this and, of course, to tell us why. Jackie, over to you.
Collated traffic fines as high as 1 million pesos in just few weeks. And this is just one of the justifications of various public utility operators why they are asking the government to scrap the no-contact apprehension policy. Groups from the bus, jeepney, taxi, and even the motorcycle delivery sectors convened to air their concerns over this policy, the no contact apprehension policy. The policy first rolled out in 2016. It's designed to catch traffic violations using CCTV cameras and penalize erring motorists without the need to flag them down on the road. So the enforcers would send a notice of violation to the violators using information based on the vehicle's registration. One of the taxi operators, Luisa Soriano, she argued that the operators should not be shouldering the fines because it was their drivers who broke the rules. Most common violations found in the pile of the notice of violations are obstruction of pedestrian lane and disobedience to traffic control signs, costing the operators around 2,000 to 5,000 each. The group submitted to LTO a list of suggestions on how to address their concerns. And on top of their list is to suspend the no contact apprehension policy and review the provisions first. The government, they said, must study the impact of the hefty fines on public utility vehicles, which brings them to their second point, to lower the fines for the public utility vehicles. Third on their list is not to use the contactless violations as a requirement to renew their vehicle registrations nor their driver's license. And lastly, the government asks the LTO to address infrastructure issues and traffic systems, particularly the traffic lights, as some of the traffic lights have no timers. Lawyers for Commuters Safety and Protection spokesperson Attorney Ariel Inton said they will resort to filing a case against the government if they fail to act on these concerns. He also warned that there will be fewer public utility vehicles on the road if this policy continues. Back to you.
Thanks a lot, Jackie Manabat, there joining us on the line back here in the newsroom. More Filipino families consider themselves poor. A new survey by SWS shows 48%, or nearly half of Filipino families, felt they were poor, up from 43% in April. That translates to about 12.2 million families. 31% of respondents considered themselves on the brink of being poor, while 21% believed they were not poor. According to SWS, self-rated poor Filipinos rose in all areas, especially in Metro Manila and the Visayas. The survey also showed 34% of families rated themselves as food poor based on the type of food they eat. The Commission on Population and Development said last May the pandemic has driven more Filipinos into poverty. The Budget Department approves a 4.1 billion peso special aid to help poor Filipinos deal with rising inflation. But as Warren de Guzman tells us, the move has been met with mixed reactions.
The Budget Department reveals 4.1 billion pesos will be released for a targeted cash transfer or TCT program to help the most vulnerable families deal with elevated inflation. Budget Secretary Amina Pangandaman says this administration wants the poor to know their government is here for them, ready to help. 4 million beneficiaries will receive 500 pesos a month for 2 months. The Department of Social Welfare and Development will distribute the cash. DSWD spokesperson Romel Lopez says the 4.1 billion will be used to continue the 12.4 billion peso TCT program started under the Duterte administration, of which only 6.2 billion pesos has been released. All in all, the DSWD says another 2.1 billion pesos is needed to complete the program. Just last week, Sergio Ortiz Luis of the Philippine Exporters Confederation argued providing the same support to micro and small enterprises would produce much better results. Professional financial planner and nonprofit worker Ryan Manrique says the 500 peso a month allocation won't do much for families if they use it for day-to-day expenses. But Manrique says he's been able to work with farmers and fisherfolk in Central Luzon to grow businesses with small amounts of capital.
Possible ba na maging income generating activity ito or magkaroon sila ng income out of 500 pesos? I think oo sa mga sa non-profit organization na kinababilangan ko, we've been coaching saka tinutulungan namin yung mga grupo na ito para makapagsimula sila somehow sa maliliit na kapital.
Some citizens ABS-CBN talked to seem to agree, and one tricycle driver even noted that he has yet to enjoy the fuel subsidy promised to the transport sector by the previous administration.
Yung inantay namin yung 6,500 na subsidy po ba yun? Hanggang ngayon, maasa pa sana kami na maibigay, pero hanggang ngayon wala pa.
Philippine Central Bank Governor Felipe Madalya says they will do as much as possible to ensure inflation eases by 2023.
We will definitely exceed 4% this year. And there's very little we can do about it.
July inflation comes out Friday, August 5th. The central bank's forecast range is 5.6 to 6.4% from 6.1% in June. Inflation has averaged 4.4% year to date. Warren De Guzman, ABS-CBN News.
Indigent senior citizens in the Philippines set to receive more benefits from government. That's after a bill seeking to increase their monthly pension lapsed into law. The measure raises the monthly pension of indigent senior citizens to 1,000 pesos from the previous 500 pesos.
Ito pong senior citizen social pension fund ay pagkatapos niyan ay yan ho ay patutungo na sa table po ni Pangulong Marcos. Pipirmahan niyo ho yan. And then since dagdag lang naman ho yan, additional ho yan, eh siguro ho, hopefully before December ho, mailabas na.
Senator Joel Villanueva, who is among the authors of the measure, expressed his gratitude for the bill's enactment. Discounts for senior citizens and persons with disabilities now applicable for online purchases. Let's get more details now from Wena Cos.
In a joint memorandum released by the Department of Trade and Industry, senior citizens and persons with disabilities can now enjoy their discounts when purchasing medicine and basic necessities and primary commodities through digital means. BNPC include rice, bread, eggs, milk, fruits and vegetables, meat, fish, LPG and kerosene. It also includes flour, garlic and onion, bathing soap, canned goods and noodles. Under the guidelines, senior citizens and PWDs must send a photo or a scanned copy of their senior citizen or PWD ID card and the first page and last page of purchase of their government-issued purchase booklet. If the purchase is made via phone call, they can identify themselves by declaring their name, birth date, and senior or PWD ID number. Upon the delivery of the purchased medicine and goods, they must also present the documents for verification. Failure to do so may disqualify them from the discount and require them to pay the full amount. The DOH, BIR, DILG, DSWD, National Commission of Senior Citizens, and National Council on Disability Affairs also signed the joint memorandum.
As maraming agencies involved in the signing of the JMC, so that we will have more implementing agencies involved. So kasama na natin silang titingin. Pagka hindi sila binigyan or pag hindi sila diniscount, whether it's 5% or 20%, they can always call on any of the implementing agencies nitong JMC natin, the recent JMC, for appropriate action against the business establishment. And I think it would be easiest for them to call DTI 1384, that's our consumer hotline, or they can send us an email at consumercare@dti.gov.ph.
While the wider implementation of the discount may come as good news to seniors and PWDs, many still hope that prices of goods go down instead.
Mahalaga naman po kasi gumagamit po ako ng online kung makakaano po ng malaking discount o mas maibababa yung presyo, mas makakatulong po sa aming lahat.
Hindi ako happy dun. Mas maganda talaga, ibaba na lang yung mga bilihin. Maganda talaga, lahat, pati gasolina, ibaba nila. Tulad nung sinasabi ng Pangulo na bigas, sana matuloy sa 20, sinasabi.
The 5% special discount can only cover up to 1,300 pesos worth of BNPC per week. The 20% discount on medicines, on the other hand, has no purchase amount limit. Wena Cos, ABS-CBN News.
Online free encyclopedia Wikipedia limits edits to its recension page as a fierce debate rages over its precise definition. See, it all started after the Biden administration said the U.S. economy is not in a recession despite two consecutive quarters of negative GDP. Now, that set off an editing war that drove registered volunteer editors to repeatedly revert changes in order to comply with the site's policies, which, in this case, required proper citation and no political bias. Most new users tried to highlight the two consecutive quarters of contraction part in the recession page. But Wikipedia said it is not compatible with its policies since it could be an attempt to frame the Biden administration's statements in a negative light. We're going to take another break now. Still ahead, dengue cases in the Philippines up by over 100% from last year. More on that when we come back. Stay with ANC. You're watching Dateline Philippines. And we're back. Here again are today's top stories. U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi now in Taiwan, defying China's threats. Pelosi landed Tuesday night in Taipei. This morning, she met with Taiwanese President Tsai Ing-wen at the Presidential Palace. There, Pelosi said she wants to make it clear the U.S. will not abandon its commitment to Taiwan. President Tsai, meanwhile, says Taiwan will not back down in the face of military threats. She also granted Pelosi Taiwan's highest civilian honor. Pelosi is the highest elected American official to visit Taiwan in 25 years. Beijing has made it clear it regards her presence as a major provocation. But Pelosi insists her visit does not contradict long-standing U.S. policy. The U.S. National Security Council also standing by Pelosi's right to visit Taiwan, saying nothing has changed regarding U.S. commitments to the One China policy. China considers Taiwan part of its territory. Tensions running high across the Taiwan Strait as Pelosi visits the island. Taiwan's defense ministry says 21 Chinese military aircraft entered its air defense identification zone Tuesday, hours before Pelosi's arrival. China also launched a series of military drills around the island after Pelosi landed. In a statement, China's foreign ministry said the Taiwan issue is the most important and most sensitive issue at the very heart of China's U.S. relations. It now urges the U.S. to stop meddling in Taiwan's affairs and to stop, quote, playing the Taiwan card to contain China. It also repeated its stern opposition to Pelosi's visit. It accused the U.S. of acting like a bully in front of the whole world, which it believes will make everyone see how it is the biggest danger to world peace. Well, President Marcos revealed several countries have offered to help fund the Philippine government's big-ticket projects. Our very own Pia Gutierrez now joins us with details. Pia, over to you.
Yes, Carmina, several countries have extended their assistance to fund big-ticket infrastructure projects of the Marcos administration. President Ferdinand Marcos there Tuesday during his meeting with members of League of Cities of the Philippines in Malacanang. According to a release sent to us by the presidential news desk, Marcos Jr. supposedly told local chief executives that he had received offers to fund big-ticket projects, including official development assistance and joint ventures, especially during his previous meetings with several envoys from various countries. But, Carmina, we have yet to get details on which countries have offered financial assistance to the Philippines and for which projects these will be. In the same meeting, Carmina, Marcos Jr. also encouraged local officials to be open to public-private partnerships in funding projects in their areas. He also underscored the importance of digitalization in pushing for economic recovery and digital transformation in the Philippines. Finally, the president urged local government units to be the driving force behind the economic transformation of the country and to help in the country's pandemic recovery. Carmina.
Thanks a lot. Pia Gutierrez there joining us on the line. Private hospitals see a slight increase in COVID-19 admissions, but Dr. Jose Rene Degrano, the president of the Private Hospitals Association of the Philippines, says the situation is still manageable. He adds they are now preparing their isolation rooms following the detection of the Centaurus Omicron subvariant, as well as the monkeypox virus in the country.
What we are doing right now is just the same, more or less,
What we are doing during the COVID pandemic, no, we are preparing for our isolation areas, because the what is important here is awareness, our detection, and of course isolation of these suspect cases.
The Philippines implements another border screening measure as a precaution against monkeypox. Incoming passengers of international flights will now be asked to roll up their sleeves as they enter the country's main gateway. This is on top of the thermal scanner, which monitors body temperature.
Dinidisrobe natin yung mga jackets na hanggat maaari makita natin yung mga signs and symptoms na kailangan nating makita. We do the primary screening using the thermal scanner, and then if we see the quarantine medical officer sees that this person needs to be evaluated further, we do our secondary screening.
The Bureau of Quarantine admits the screening test for incoming passengers is not foolproof, but it can minimize the risk of more cases of monkeypox entering the country.
Hindi naman po lahat nagpe-present with fever. And then after the fever, yung rashes tsaka lang po yan magde-develop. So that's one of the challenges. Kaya hindi po natin masasabi na yung pasaherong dadaan ay makakatch natin on time.
Ang importante sa border natin na meron tayong monitoring kung sino man yung darating at kung mag-develop ng symptoms within the next three weeks upon arrival, dapat meron tayong way of monitoring those individuals.
The Philippines' dengue cases increased by over 100% compared to last year. The Philippine Department recorded nearly 82,600 cases from January 1st to July 16th. Majority of the cases were in Central Luzon, Central Visayas, and Metro Manila. The DOH reiterates its call for the public and local governments to implement established anti-dengue strategies. The agency adds it has directed hospitals and clinics to provide dengue fast lanes. In other news, state seismologists record over 2,400 aftershocks since last week's powerful Luzon quake. Philippine Institute of Volcanology and Seismology Director Renato Solidum says while most of the aftershocks were not felt, the strongest one was at magnitude 5.1.
Ang kailangan nating paghandaan ay kung may mas matataas pang aftershock na magdulot ng intensity 6, iyon po ay delikado sa mga siguro nasira ng mga bahay at gusali. Kaya nga po, ang marapat dyan, huwag munang gamitin, no? Opo. Until maayos, o di kaya ay siguro maipagawa ng mabuti.
Last week's magnitude 7 quake left some 1.2 billion pesos in damage to infrastructure based on initial estimates. The death toll remains at 10. The Philippine Education Department admits some schools damaged by the recent Luzon quake and powerful storms are still undergoing repairs. That's as the new school year is set to begin later this month. The DepEd assures the public it is doing all it can to have the damaged schools ready for the opening of classes.
Right now, in fact, we have already asked the president through, of course, the DBM for additional funding of 16 billion to augment the current funds for quick intervention for areas affected by Odette, Agaton, and hopefully even the earthquake-affected areas. Okay.
Meanwhile, a teachers' group still hoping Vice President and Education Secretary Sara Duterte will heed its call to postpone the opening of classes to mid-September.
As of now, kasi approved na ito ng Presidente, sabi niya, no, ito na talaga, tuloy tayo sa August 22. Pero depende pa rin, no, sabi niya, no, doon sa mga maaaring mga mangyari, no, at yun nga, at nirace namin, sinabi niya rin, no, na pag-aaralan, no, yung legal basis, no, na nitong hinihingi namin. Hihintayin pa rin namin, hindi pa rin naman kami dito nawawalan ng pag-asa, no, lalo na, no, that was the first time, no, yesterday was the first time, no, na directly nakausap po natin yung ating Vice President Secretary.
President Marcos appoints more officials at the Justice Department. Mike Navallo on the line now with details. Mike.
Hi, Carmina. President Ferdinand Bongbong Marcos Jr. has made new appointments to key positions in the Justice Department a month after he took office. He named three new undersecretaries, and these are veteran litigator Jesse Andres, former DOJ Assistant Secretary Geronimo C., and lawyer Jose Cadiz Jr., based on the appointment paper dated July 29. Undersecretary Deo Marco will stay on, while Assistant Secretary Nicolas Felix C. has been promoted to undersecretary. Justice Secretary Boying Remulla confirmed the new appointments earlier today. Andres, C., and Marco also confirmed that they have accepted the post. Andres replaced Undersecretary Adrian Sugay, will oversee the National Prosecution Service. He previously served as Chief of Staff to former Vice President Noli De Castro, and prior to that was co-head of the Litigation Department of Ponce Enrile Cayetano, Bautista Reyes, and Manerestas Law Offices, or PECABAR, before founding his own law firm. He, who served as Assistant Secretary from 2008 to 2016, will focus on priority initiatives. Remulla said he is waiting for two more undersecretary appointments. In addition to these appointments, two DOJ assistant secretaries were also named, Jose Arturo Malvar and Majkin Annika Gran Wong. Meanwhile, Secretary Remulla is expected to hold a press conference at 1 this afternoon on the International Criminal Court. Carmina?
Thanks a lot. Mike Navallo there joining us on the line. Back here in the newsroom, before we go, the domestic consumption of the Filipino youth remains the top contributor to the Philippines' economic growth. That's according to Finance Secretary Benjamin Diokno. He adds the young generation is also boosting the digital economy. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. That'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. For those of you who are still waiting for that interview with new COMELEC Chairman Attorney George Garcia, we have word that he is still tied up in a press conference that's currently ongoing. So hopefully we get to talk to him maybe tomorrow. Still, thanks for tuning in. Keep it here on the news channel. Keep safe.